Pretty Vulgar podcast with Elizabeth and Jillian, and we are back. Jillian is healing slowly, but surely.
I'm still alive, guys. You haven't killed me yet.
I mean, that's a good thing. You are healing, and you're looking great, so. Well,
thank you. I showered today, guys. 1 week without a shower is probably the most disgusting thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I can't impart to you how disgusting that is.
I feel like that is a really long time, and I'm really glad you showered.
Me too. Fresh as a daisy.
All right, so let's just jump into this.
All right, guys, I don't know if you heard about this, but Justin Bieber has canceled the rest of his tour.
Tears.
He found Jesus.
I don't understand why that means he has to cancel his tour. Like, you can't love Jesus and still be a singer?
I mean, maybe he just needs to take the time to really devote to his religious pursuits, such as running over a paparazzi.
I'm just, like, picturing this. I don't understand what he means by finding Jesus, because, I mean, I get it in the broad spectrum that he's like, oh, yeah, he's my Lord and Savior, but what does that mean in the bigger picture?
I don't know. I guess we have to wait and see. He's been spending a lot of time with this pastor that he spends time with, who's, like, supposed to be the rock star pastor. He goes out drinking with them, and I think that's a bunch of bullshit, but that's just me. So, he spent a lot of time with this guy, and, you know, he is a changed guy because, like, after he ran over the paparazzi, he stayed with the guy until the ambulance came. Like, old Justin Bieber would have taken that yellow Lambo and just driven over more bodies, but, it's like, true. This is a change. This is growth. Real growth.
I just wonder how long it's going to last. I don't feel like it's going to last that long, but that's just me. And also, why do you got to cancel your tour? People already bought the tickets. It's so annoying.
Yeah, that's just finish it out. I think there was like 14 tour dates left, and I understand it's a lot of work and it's a lot and you're exhausted.
Uh-huh.
But 14 is like not that much in the grander scheme of things.
I don't know. I guess I just don't take him to be, you know, sincere.
Yes. I think he has proven time again that he's not sincere and that it in fact is too late to say sorry. Justin Bieber.
It is.
Chrissy Teigen got blocked by Donald Trump on Twitter, finally. She finally made it to that elite society.
Well, good for her then.
You know, like...
It's really funny to me because I just feel like it's so high school to be like, I'm deleting you from Twitter. I'm deleting you from Facebook. I don't know.
I don't know when you went to high school, but when I went to high school, none of that existed. So it was literally like... We're not sitting with you at lunch anymore.
Okay, well, when I went to high school, yes, we did not have that. I was telling my daughter, I was like, we used to pass notes in class, like on written paper. There was no texting. There was passing notes.
Do they not pass notes in class anymore?
No, they just text each other.
What?
Yeah, do you remember, like, you would fold them a certain way?
Yeah, and we used to come up with languages so that if the letters got caught, like, the teachers didn't understand what we were saying.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, my friends, too. So it's like... I just don't get it. So it's not high school for us, but it's high school for these new kids.
It's new wave high school. I get it.
These spring chickens. But yeah, it's high school. Grow up, Donald Trump. But whatever, you know.
I mean, we can't expect that anytime soon.
No, we absolutely can't.
But, I mean, what's funny about this is he blocks these people, like Chrissy Teigen. It becomes national news.
Yeah.
We already know. He said many times that he's very focused on the 24-hour news cycle. He watches Fox News. He watches all this stuff. This becomes national news. He gets to see what she's saying anyway.
Exactly. So he may be blocking her, but he's still aware. It's like when you block an ex or something, but you have your best friend stalk his page.
Yeah.
You're still seeing the shit.
Exactly.
You still want to see it.
Exactly. You've experienced no growth in that position because you are just like, I'm the cool one. I blocked him. But, like, you still know exactly what's going on.
Exactly. Let's be real, people.
Speaking of crazy, I mean, because I just feel like that's just crazy in high school, there was some kind of party over the last couple days. I'm not exactly sure what date it was, but the party's guest list included such esteemed members as Black China, Tyga, and Lamar Odom. So we like to call it, you know, the support group.
For Kardashians.
Or the Kardashian exes.
Yeah, it's a survival club. They're like, we all made it through, guys. we've made it through to the other side.
We came out the other end. Yeah. And so I find that interesting. There were some pictures of, like, Black Chyna and Lamar Odom, who, by the way, has now admitted that Chloe would catch him doing drugs in his drug den that he wasn't doing because he wasn't doing drugs. Confusing. I know. I can't follow it either, but I'm just imparting the knowledge to you.
It's such bullshit. And then is Chyna going to get knocked up by Lamar?
Oh, dear God. Can you imagine?
She wants to bring that revenge full circle. She really wants to.
And then she's going to steal Kanye's embryos or his semen and birth the baby. Chyna is the Kim Kardashian Kanye surrogate because they are 3 months pregnant via surrogate, by the way.
Are they really? I didn't hear that.
I totally forgot to, like, it slipped my mind because you just get so inundated with Kardashian information.
You can only handle so much.
Exactly. So, yeah, Kim and Kanye are 3 months pregnant with their surrogate. Maybe Black is this, Black Chyna, not Black. That's weird. it's the Norco, guys. It's Norco. Maybe she's the surrogate.
Oh, my God. I just, oh my
They really
God.
Enjoyed the way, you know, Dream came out. She looks like she came out fine. She got 10 fingers, 10 toes.
So they're all for it. Yeah, they're definitely all for it. Wow. I don't know why they would all hang out together. That's super weird. I think that it's drama and, God, Black
It just
China.
Makes me wonder if there were cameras there, like, other than the, obviously, photography.
I can only cameras. Hope, because you want to hear them talk shit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I'm sure there will. I'm sure there'll be a series. The next series after Life of Kylie will be the Life of Chyna, Tyga, and Lamar.
Oh, my God.
The reconciliation of Tyga and Black Chyna.
Ew.
So, I don't know if you guys know, remember this artist, Willa Ford?
I remember her.
She had this song in the early 2000s. I want to be bad. And I don't even know the other lyrics.
I don't remember that song at all. Like, I remember who she was, but I cannot, like, call to mind a song.
Well, there's a reason. You can't. Because 9/11 ruined her career, Elizabeth. How dare you? How dare you?
Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. I understand this single came out on 9/11, and obviously no one heard it because a national tragedy was occurring. Gotcha. That didn't ruin your career because people picked up the pieces. They could have picked up your single and listened to it.
Radio still played music. I hope everyone who's listening to this podcast was alive during 9/11.
Oh,
so
God,
I don't want to be overgeneralized, but we were alive. Like, I turned on the radio. You needed a break. You listened to music. Like, to blame terrorism for the lack of your career seems so absurd.
It's obscene. It's bullshit. She's crazy. She just doesn't have a career because it's Willa Ford, and who is that? And her voice isn't, you know, something epic.
Right. She's not, you know, one of these divas, Whitney Houston, Celine Dion. Yeah. She's like, you know, generic pop star.
Exactly.
That's why her career didn't take off. Not because terrorists killed 3,000 Americans.
Yeah, and how selfish of you to talk about 9/11 as if it affected
you. It's your personal tragedy.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? There's hundreds of thousands of people who were killed. Like,
well, there was not hundreds of thousands of people that were killed.
I mean, like, hundreds, comma, thousands.
Got it. I was like, let's not do that.
Not like 100,000, but like...
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. There was so many people killed, and those people, it's not like she's saying my career ended because my mom was on the plane or my sister was in the Twin Towers and yada yada.
Exactly.
She's literally saying, fuck you, Bin Laden. You torpedoed my career. I don't so much care about the other stuff.
What a fucking selfish bitch. Like, my God.
Yeah, I mean, literally never heard anything that absurd in my life when I read that article.
Way to make 9/11 about you. All right.
Someone who could have predicted 9/11, perhaps, was Miss Cleo. You guys remember Miss Cleo?
Oh, yes.
Like, call Miss Cleo, man.
Yes.
So, she's dead.
She is dead.
FYI.
No, she is dead, for sure.
But Grand Theft Auto, apparently, has introduced a character in their new game that is a direct ripoff of Miss Cleo.
That's hysterical.
Prompting a lawsuit from her estate.
That is hysterical. I mean, I feel like Miss Cleo has been, you know, satirized many a time.
100%. I was going to say that exact same thing. Like, who hasn't, like, replicated Miss Cleo in some sense, in her accent or her look, or the fact that she was a bullshitter and a con artist?
Yes. I mean, I think that someone's looking to make some money.
Oh, I think that's true, because honestly, how much money did Miss Cleo's estate have?
I really don't think she could have had that much. It was like, what, 99 cents a minute?
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to Housewives news, Yolanda, I think she went back to Hadid now. She's not Foster anymore, which is a little weird to She went except to her, your ex-husband's last name.
Yeah, her first ex-husband's last name.
But that's okay. So Yolanda Hadid posted this picture the other day on her Instagram. Beautiful picture. She's out by the water. She's in a thong. Her body is banging.
Her ass is on point. Back. Yeah, she looks amazing. Like, my God.
What I don't get, and I'm sure some of the listeners will agree with me,
right,
is Yolanda was very sick. She was, for seasons of a television show, very sick.
In a bathrobe.
Her nail polish and her breast implants and her fillings and all this stuff, and none of it worked. She was sick. On death's doorstop. And then she divorces David Foster, insta-healed. She's a model again. She's jet setting. She's everywhere. No more of the one day a picture of her on a deathbed, the next day a picture of her well. Just well pictures all the time. So I'm curious to know
what happened.
What the fuck is going on?
It is very peculiar. It does make you wonder. I really don't understand it myself because, like you said, she was posting a lot of pictures of, like, her, you know, getting holistic treatments and going to all these doctors and. On the show, she's in a white bathrobe with no makeup and her hair looks like shit. And she's like, I'm dying.
Yeah, she couldn't even, like, muster up a makeup team to put some fake lashes on her and send her to dinner.
Exactly.
Like, she went sans makeup.
Yeah. So, now that she's all better, it's very strange that it happened so quickly. My understanding of Lyme disease is that it didn't happen so quickly, that you didn't recover so quickly.
And that it's lifelong. Like, my grandfather had Lyme disease.
Right.
And there were symptoms he always had. He always had swollen joints and all this stuff. It's a very serious, serious illness.
It is. So maybe something else was going on and it's not Lyme disease. I don't know. You never know.
If it's not Munchausen, it could be Munchausen by proxy is all I'm saying. Wink, wink. That's just a wink. It's an allegation.
It's
not
true. It's air quotes. Yeah, it's air quotes. We don't have any proof, guys.
And speaking of Yolanda, David Foster is in a new relationship with Elizabeth Hurley.
I mean, she's a good one to rebound to.
I mean, come on. Like, Elizabeth Hurley's body
is
sick.
It's not fair.
It's not. Like, it's sick. I see her Instagram post. She's always in a goddamn bathing suit.
Yeah.
Her body's perfect. There's no fat, no stretch marks, no cellulite, nothing.
If I had her body, I'd always be in a bikini, too.
Yeah, 100%.
Going to Walmart in a bikini.
So, apparently, they're in the early stages of that relationship, so we'll see how that plays out. Tinsley and Scott update. Tinsley and Scott are still together. That's what she said on Watch What Happens Live.
I think that was last night she did. And I mean, she needs to lock him down, because if he did not run to the hills after that first date, she needs to lock him down.
So what I'm starting to think, though, is maybe he's also a little crazy, is because after that first date, which was horrid, and she acted like a psychopath, he then proceeded to take her on a 5-day date. They continue to date. Like, he sends her flowers in Mexico, which we'll see later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, over the top, thousands of dollars of flowers.
Well, seriously, I don't, he must be crazy, because he must really like pantyhose and, you know, clothes from the early 2000s and a psycho bitch who has eyebrows that shoot off her face.
And who is so emotionally disturbed.
Oh my gosh. Come on. So obnoxious.
What I also heard is that Vicky Gunvalson is starting a lipstick line.
Yeah, that's disgusting. No one wants her lipstick. Shut up.
Okay, so usually these housewives, when they start other businesses, they're kind of related to something they're known for. That's why most of them have alcohol.
Exactly.
Because they drink an ass load.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have, I don't know if they do, but it would make sense to me for a shoe line or a handbag line or.
Right. Or something funny and snarky. But lip gloss, Vicky?
Like, her lips are nothing to be desired.
No. And she, oh God, no. And I just can't imagine that her lip gloss is going to be anything better than the lip gloss that you can pick up at your local Walgreens.
I can't imagine, and I'm sure it'll be like, I'm sure we'll find out later. It's in partnership with Gretchen Christine.
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Like, do you think Vicky Gunvalson lip gloss is going to do, like, make an impact on Kylie lip gloss? Like,
no.
That shit is everywhere, and I don't think it's that great either, by the way.
Oh, I know. We have tried it, and I don't like it.
Yeah, like, I stick to my, like, Laura Mercier and,
I love her.
My normal shit. Like, I do not go for fad lip gloss.
No. I mean, and people's lips are so sensitive anyway. Mine are. Like, if I put something on it, I can have allergic reactions and look like I get fucking injections.
In all fairness, your body is crazy. You had that toxic lemonade from Applebee's that burnt a hole into your tongue.
It's true, guys. My body reacts to things in very, very strange
ways. Literally, a hole in a tongue from a lemonade at Applebee's.
It's true. I did go to Applebee's. It was before we went to see, I think it was Twilight.
One of the Twilight films.
Yeah, we're those girls. The Midnight Showing. And I got this alcoholic lemonade shit, and it literally burned a hole in my tongue. I don't know. But nonetheless, I persevered, and my tongue has healed.
Amen. Amen.
Praise Jesus.
So, there's been... Real Housewives of Atlanta is filming right now, so there's a lot of little tidbits dropping that we don't get full pictures or full stories because they're going to save that, obviously, for the show.
Right. They don't want to give it away.
But what we see is that Nene had a party last week, a white party for the gays.
Yes. It's very strange.
Weird shit. But whatever. So, you know, Marlo was there, and Kenya, and Kim, and Lisa Wu, and all these people were there. And apparently, at this party, some major fight breaks out between Kenya, Kim, and Brielle. And it has to do over Kenya talking shit about Kim's 37 children.
She does have a lot of children, and they seem to come very rapidly. It was just like rapid fire of children.
Yeah, like sometimes I watch her Snapchats, and I'm like, where'd that one come from? Like, I don't...
I know, I'm like, wait, there's twins, there's... Big boy, little boy, too. Yeah, it's intense. Yeah, I did see her send out something on Insta saying, you'll never talk about my children and think that I'll stay quiet. Something to that effect. And, I mean, I get it. A mama bear comes out.
For sure.
But I'd be interested to see what exactly was said.
And Kenya does have a reputation for pushing buttons and being a little inappropriate. But honestly, I like Kenya. I think she's intelligent. And I think she knows what's up.
Right.
So, I'll be interested to see how that all plays out.
I'm excited for Atlanta.
I can't wait. Just, like, let's skip Dallas, let's skip Beverly Hills, let's skip it. Whatever's in the way of Atlanta, bring it, please.
I agree.
Also on Atlanta, Phaedra and Apollo have finally come to a divorce settlement. So, after their divorce was granted, and then not granted, and then they were just stuck in limbo, they are finally divorced, guys.
I'm sure that... They're both happy to be moving on. I mean, not that Apollo can really do anything about it because he's in prison.
Well, he does have, like, a fiance or girlfriend. What, already? Oh, like, yeah, there was... Because you're not caught up on Atlanta.
I'm not.
The last season of Atlanta, there's a party, and because he cannot attend, he sends his fiance.
Oh, sweet Jesus. I don't even understand.
Yeah, so that's something, maybe, that... You know, Apollo has managed to, like, you'll see when you catch up, to make himself still a central figure of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, they always time his phone calls to his friends with the camera there.
That is
so
hysterical.
He's still there. He's still present.
Oh, for the love. Oh, my God. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Real Housewives of New York. This was a Page Six story. If you're not from New York, sometimes people aren't familiar with Page Six. Mm-hmm. It's the gossip portion of the New York Post. It's what Tinsley is talking about incessantly in these last two episodes.
Oh, yes. We'll touch on that.
But they, according to Page Six, Real Housewives of New York for season 10, which is next season, wants to diversify. They want a younger cast. The allegations are they kind of want to phase out a little bit Ramona, Sonia, and Luann. Phase in some younger people. Phase in some ethnic minorities. Not just white women across the board.
I mean, I'm fine with... Not just having white women, because I feel like women need to be represented from all fronts. But I kind of like the age group just because these women are older. It makes their antics even crazier.
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Because a 20-something or even a 30-something who's out getting drunk and being crazy, you're just like, eh, that's fine. But when you see a 60-year-old doing that, it's hysterical.
Oh, I totally agree. And I also, well, I... Obviously, don't think ethnic diversity is a bad thing.
No.
I don't think we should be trying to employ, like, affirmative action in the Housewives franchise.
No.
They come together pretty... I mean, obviously, I know that it's not... It seems natural to us, but it's a painstaking process to put these people together like this.
Right.
But I wouldn't want to see them just throw in, you know, a random Indian girl for no reason other than she's Indian.
Right. Isn't that the complete opposite of diversifying?
Yeah.
Like, using someone as, like, the token ethnic person.
Exactly. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out and if they achieve those goals.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, also, and we can touch on examples of this later, but Bethany did an interview yesterday where she said traveling with Ramona Singer is like traveling with a caged animal.
I completely believe it, especially after this this week's episode of New York Housewives. Ramona's fucking nuts.
Like, she absolutely is, 100%.
So that quote seems reasonable to me.
All right, guys, let's move into Potomac. I'm just kidding. There's no Potomac. Thanks the good Lord.
I was like, bitch, what are you talking about?
Raise me, Jesus. Yeah, no Potomac. No Secrets Revealed episodes. By the way, I don't think... I mean, we may watch... I've never watched those Secrets Revealed episodes. I usually just delete them.
Yeah, me too.
So we'll probably stick to that philosophy.
Yeah.
Because to my knowledge, no great secrets have been revealed.
No, nothing's being revealed. It's like, oh, she went to the bathroom.
Yeah, if it was good enough to be revealed, it would have been on the show.
Exactly, exactly.
So moving on to OC, The Not-So-Quiet Woman is the name of this episode. And we start off, we're still at Ava's birthday party. And yeah. It's still Shannon and Lydia. The going saga continues.
Yeah.
It really just rehashes what happened last time. And then Shannon storms off and is ripping off her mic pack. And she's getting into the limo. And David's following her. What's wrong, honey? What's wrong? And she's like, I'm done! I am done!
Yeah, it was very dramatic. It was very over the top. If I was there, I would be like, Shannon, calm the fuck down. Like,
I mean, I hate to say it. Because it's going to set Shannon Bedore off, which sounds like Vicki Gumbelson when she acts like that.
Well, it's true. And it's just like, Shannon, calm down. You're making yourself sound crazy. And I understand being a highly emotional person. I'm highly emotional. But there's got to be a time where you reel yourself in and be like, okay.
I've never seen you act like this.
Oh, thank God.
Like, I mean, and I know, like, after my wedding, there was, like, Housewives-level drama.
That's true.
I've never seen you act like that.
I'm really glad and happy to hear you say that. Because I would be devastated if you're like, yeah, I've seen you.
I'm like, oh yeah, I'm seeing you Shannon Bedore it up. No, this is next level. This is like inability to hold your shit together.
Yeah, and we see that more at when they go out to dinner, which we'll discuss.
Oh yeah, because that's like the epic part of this episode. Uh-huh. So meanwhile, we visit Deco and Peggy's house. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting that they were having this conversation about playing basketball in the house, but there was a basketball hoop in the house.
Yeah, so I don't understand. How can you get mad? Someone had to put it up.
Yeah, I was very confused, but that's a side note.
Yeah.
Basically, we're just learning that Peggy's going to go see the plastic surgeon about starting to get reconstruction after her double mastectomy. So,
right.
Again, this is a really solid, I think it's a really important plot line, actually, uh-huh. in Housewives history. There's not been a lot that have been important.
Right,
I think this is one of them. I think it was important when Angelina Jolie did it.
Uh-huh.
I think it's very important for women to be like, this is my body, and I'm saying no to cancer.
No, I think it's amazing, and especially since women identify so much with their boobs as a source of their femininity and right. being accepted by society and getting their sex appeal from their boobs, or feeling like they attract whomever they want to attract by their boobs. So I think it's really awesome that these women are being like, I don't give a flying fuck about that. I'm going to protect myself and for my family. And, you know, Peggy talks about how she doesn't like how they look right now, but she's still willing to go through all that. And I thought it was so sweet that her husband said, with or without boobs, I still love her and she's still my soulmate.
Yeah, I definitely wrote that down because that was just so adorable.
I was like, okay.
Very touching. Like, I like Peggy and Deco.
Yeah, I was like, gold star for you because I think it's so important too for, especially the men, because I don't think men really understand how women view their own breasts. Like, stand behind their women for this and just be like, you're still beautiful. I still love you. Fuck your boobs. You know.
Right. Like, it's more important to have you here.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
The interesting thing I did note from the doctor's visit is that I guess I never really knew the whole, like, how the whole process works.
Uh-huh.
With, like, because a lot of women get a single mastectomy, a double mastectomy, and they don't get any reconstruction.
Uh-huh.
And good for those people, too. Like,
right. That's great.
It's all about being happy in the skin you're in.
Uh-huh.
So, she is getting reconstruction, so she's had these stretchers put in.
Uh-huh, yep.
And you know me, I am, like, a plastic surgery novice. I don't like surgery.
Right.
I don't like to read about it, look at it, hear about it, see it. Like, people have asked me all sorts of questions about my surgery, and I'm like, nope, don't know. And there would seem like basic questions, like, How much weight did they remove from your breasts? God, I don't know.
Yeah, I know it.
Why? What?
Yeah, no, no, no. I know. I was like, oh my God, Jillian, when I asked you. And me, on the other hand, I love watching surgeries. I love reading about plastic surgeries. I love looking at before and after pictures. I am like, I should have been like a doctor in another life or something.
Yes, you should have.
Because I feel like I know so much about it. And also, I have a friend from catechism. That's right. I was a good Catholic girl in former life. Who she had a double mastectomy because she had the, what's that test that you get to find out if it's
in your... I don't know what the name is. Yeah. But there's a genetic test.
There's a genetic test, and she found out that she did have it. So she got a double mastectomy, and she had to have the stretchers put in, and essentially it's just like a hard balloon that they fill up slowly to stretch that skin back out to the desired size you want. And she said it was horrifically painful.
I can't imagine that it wouldn't be.
Yeah, like, it sounds
even right
awful.
Now, and I'm not trying to compare my surgery to breast cancer reconstruction, but just from my standpoint, because that's how I can talk about it,
right,
is... Even, you know, having all the skin cut out and the tissue and everything and being sewn up like I am right now, it's so ridiculously tight and painful.
I'm sure.
Like, that's what you would be dealing with.
Yeah.
It's like this just constant tightness and stretching, and it's really not pleasant.
No, I can't. Oh, God, I can't even imagine. Like, I know how it feels when you just have a baby and your milk comes in and your boobs stretch, like,
right.
overnight. That should hurt, so I can't, like, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, again.
Boobs are hard work.
Boobs are hard work,
like, oh,
people.
My God, they
you
don't even
don't
know.
You don't understand, if you were a man listening to this, how hard of a work boobs are.
It's so true.
For my ladies, amen, sister.
No, God, they're so tedious.
So, meanwhile, and so I do want to say that I really think that I'm going to like Peggy and Deco. And that goes on to, like, when we talk about the restaurant and the dinner and stuff and Peggy's behavior there,
uh-huh.
I, like, just really connect with her.
Yeah.
While Peggy and Deco are at the doctor's office, Vicky's at her new office with her franchise partner.
Oh,
he seems a little slimy to me. Does he not seem slimy to you?
He seems super slimy to me. And how Vicky was like, oh, I can't pick good people and I'm not guarded enough and blah, blah. No, you're a fucking idiot. You make bad decisions. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, 100%. Like, I was like... They said she can't hire the new employees because she's so bad at it.
Yeah, no, you're just an evil, manipulating woman. And this guy does not seem like he's the Pope, for God's sakes, the way she's making him out to be. So it's just kind of like, Vicky, you need to calm it down.
100%. And while this is all happening, I mean, I doubt all this is while this is happening. These are probably like 6 weeks apart. But from our perspective,
right.
While this is happening.
They splice it all together. It's kind of annoying.
It's really ridiculous. Peggy and Doug are at the magazine and they're doing work, and I still don't understand why they would, because it was Lydia and Doug,
I know.
That would be weird if it was Peggy and Doug.
I got you.
Lydia is talking about how they're all in on this magazine, and to me, I still don't understand why anyone in this day and age would go all in print media.
Yeah, God, I don't get it either. I think that they're taking a huge gamble, and I also think that they have, it's such a small market that they are marketing to.
100%.
So small. Like,
what, are they charging like $45 an issue?
Well, shit, I feel like they are. Like, I don't see the average guy, like, I don't see, like, your husband, George, being, like, at the newsstand being like, oh, yes, let me pick up this magazine where there's, like, it just doesn't seem to be, their demographic seems so small, so I don't see a profit. But that's just me.
I would agree with that.
It's just my humble opinion.
And then Lydia talks about kind of how she comes from this long line of business people, like super aggressive business people, and I just don't see it. I'm just totally like thrown off by that.
And I love that she said, oh, I wish that Doug was less of a bitch, right? She said that. And I was just like, you think your husband's a little bitch? Like, don't you want to see your husband in a better light, especially the man who has 51% of the company you're running?
Yeah, maybe you should shut your mouth because you're going to get fired.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't either. And then she talks more about Shannon, and she talks about how Shannon was yelling at her. And I honestly, after reviewing this footage over and over and over and over again, do not believe that Shannon was yelling.
No, I don't think she was yelling. She was dramatic as fuck.
She always is.
So, I mean, that was Shannon, but no, she was not yelling.
Yeah, so, and then we shoot over to Tamara's house. Tamara's playing with her daughter's guinea pig, which she bonds with when her daughter is at her father's house, which is adorable. The guinea pig was very cute.
Let me tell you something about guinea pigs. My daughter has a guinea pig.
Who peed on me? I did not find that cute.
Did he?
It was Christmas 2 years ago, yes.
Really? Oh, my God.
It was on your brother's bed, though, so he peed on your brother's bed, too. I was not in her brother's bed for nefarious reasons. I should clarify that.
Right. He was, like, spending the night, and it was in my parents' office.
Yes.
And, like, the office has, like, other shit in it. So, yeah, you're not in there because...
Let's just put that out there.
Oh, Jesus. No. But anyways, yeah, guinea pigs are really cute, but they're a lot of work. Like, you wouldn't... Like, you would think, you just put them in a cage and they're good. No. Well,
that's like fish. Fish are the same way. You just put them in a tank and they swim around, but they're fucking a shit ton of work.
Yeah, so just you people out there, you're going to see this cute guinea pig be like, oh, so cute. Yeah, no. They're a lot of work. Just throwing that out there.
So Tamara's talking to Shannon during this, and they're deciding whether they're still going to go out to dinner Thursday, and Tamara likes to see herself as a little Rodney King, apparently. She's like, can't we all just get along?
Yeah, that, to me... was really unacceptable and just kind of like out.
It missed the mark.
It totally missed the mark. And plus, he's dead.
He is dead, yes.
And also, I watched him on Celebrity Rehab, and he portrayed on that show to have such a kind spirit. I really connected with who he put out there.
Well, right. And you know, that all stems from the fact that after his trial and after the riots, he came out and was just like, can't we all just get along?
Right.
He literally said that because he literally meant that.
Yeah, and I think he's just, like, he was such a kind soul, and I think he was very misunderstood. And he died, he drowned in a swimming pool because of his addiction. And it just, so it kind of made me mad because I was like, you can't talk about him. You don't know him. Like I know him, but I don't know him just because I watched him on reality television. But I was defensive of it, and I just kind of felt like, you shouldn't say
that. Yeah, I feel like that was, like, I'm watching right now the documentary of the 90s on CNN.
Uh-huh.
And the last episode was about the race riots, mm-hmm. and specifically Rodney King. And I just feel like it's such a hot-button issue, especially today.
Oh, yeah.
So for a white woman who's sitting in Orange County to say that, it's a little strange. I'm not one of those who get offended easily or, like, I don't get angry easily. And I wouldn't say I was either offended or angry at this.
No.
I just thought it was like, maybe you should choose your words a little carefully.
I agree. And also, I just think Rodney King, he was such a gentle soul. And I think that he had demons, and I feel sad about it. So that's my two cents.
Tamara is gentle, and she has demons.
She does have demons, that's true. But she's got Jesus, too, so she's good.
Oh, dear God. So they decide they're going to go to dinner on Thursday. And then we finally see Megan is finally back in Orange County.
Yeah, but that's the only part that she's in the episode was for, like, what, not even 5 minutes?
Yes, do you understand my theory now? I don't think she's on this show. Like, yeah. I don't understand.
So I was like, okay, and she talks about selling the house, and then old Jim comes back where he's, rude to her.
I get that, but I think she deserves it.
I mean, she's rather annoying.
Really whacked out.
I think she is whacked out. I think
she's talking about selling the house and moving into a high rise with a doorman because now she thinks she's like, now that I definitely think it has something to do with postpartum because now that she's had this baby, she like wants nothing to do with the baby life.
Right, because it's hard.
Yeah, and like,
and she's not an accessory, and she is an actual living, breathing human thing that you have to care for and help thrive and help nurture.
Right. And so most people, even though tons of Americans and people around the world every year raise their children in high rises, most people with means like to have yards for their children
to
play in and have their dogs and their cats and whatever. Right. She's just, like, not about it. And then she's like, well, I'm going to be a single mom when Jim leaves. I'm going to be a single mom. You said he literally was changing all the diapers. Like, maybe you need that time to connect with your child.
And I would also like to say, I absolutely hate with a passion when married women go and say, I'm a single mom this weekend because my husband's off on a fishing trip or my husband's on a work trip.
Right.
You are not a fucking single mom.
It belittles your experience.
Yeah. You are not a single mom because for one weekend your husband went camping or because Jimmy works in another city. You could go with him.
And I'm sure while Jim's away or while, you know, dad's off fishing or whatever the hypothetical is, grandma probably comes and stays.
Yeah.
The nanny can come and stay. So it's not, you're not raising this child by yourself. You're not making, I totally get what you're saying and what you've spoken to about being a single mom, having to make every decision that affects this human's life by yourself. That is not what you're doing.
Exactly. And so I have heard other women say this and it pisses me off because I'm like, nope, that's not what being a single mom is. So. Right.
And I definitely, honestly, when she says stuff like this, when she acts like this, I definitely see a little bit more of Jim's side. Because we've seen his capacity for good, and we've seen the capacity for love, and sometimes people's buttons get pushed.
No, that's absolutely true. And, I mean, in all fairness, she could have just said some wacky shit that they just didn't even show.
Well, and he was, well, right, like, I kind of got that, because he was saying, like, I've been up since 7 o'clock doing all this work to the house that I need to do and stuff to get done, and,
yeah,
I mean, so you can kind of, like, think about that off camera, or what we didn't see, is, like, she was like, let's have a pizza.
God.
And he's probably like, no, we need to go. I have things to do. And because Andy Cohen is friends with Jim Edmonds, like, before the housewife. Right. So I don't think he's going to purposely paint him as, like, a wife, you know, a wife beater or abusive man.
And Andy Cohen has said really nice things about him. Also, I found interesting that Megan says she was a granola mommy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, you're not a granola mommy.
And that's what Jim said.
Yeah, like, you need to look up the definition in the Urban Dictionary of what a granola mommy is, because you're not. You're absolutely not.
And then
not.
She's like, she's seeing ghosts because babies are from the spirit world. And so they see ghosts and they don't have the stigma of, like, they can see ghosts and people think they're crazy. So she's communicating with ghosts. And I was like, what in the fuck?
I'm going to tell you something right now. That is not the first time I've heard that.
What?
My grandma, she used to think that babies could see spirits. So I've heard this my whole life. And I've heard it from other people, too, that when babies will focus on something in a room, they're looking at a spirit. That they're not just, like, focusing on something else. They're focusing on a spirit.
That's just mind-boggling to me. That's not where my mind would go.
So that's what some people think. But when she said that, I was like, oh, yeah, Grandma used to say that. And my mom, because I was watching it with my mom, she's like, yep, sure did.
So I don't know about that. Well, I mean, maybe someone will do a study, write a book. Maybe they have. I don't know. But
they for sure have. There are books out there.
That's, like, super crazy. I don't. That's not for me.
I mean, it's strange. I'm going to agree with you. It is strange.
So after seeing Megan's brief entrance into the episode and into Orange County, for that fact, because it's taken 3 episodes for her to get back to Orange County.
Yeah.
Shannon goes back to the gym, and this was kind of like this emotional breakdown thing. Although, in true Shannon form, it's way more dramatic than it needs to be.
And she's not even going to a real gym. She's going to
this holistic
chiropractic gym. Guy. When she took off her shirt, though, I was astounded.
Well, you know, so it's really interesting. So I want to touch on the fact that she still blames these David allegations for her weight gain, which is just bullshit.
Yeah.
So then they kind of go over the statistics. And she started at 118.
Right.
And then at some point last year was 134.
How tall is she? Like 5?
It said on the scale 5'6.5".
Oh, so she's like one inch shorter than I am.
Yes.
So 5'18 is really thin for a 5'6".
Yeah. No, that's definitely, she was super thin. 134 looked good on her. Because I kind of flashback. That was during Housewives. She looked totally normal.
She looked good.
And now at 5'6", she weighs 172 and is 40% body fat.
That was astounding. Seeing the numbers and when she took off her shirt and seeing her belly fat, because it seems that's where she's carrying most of it, is in her belly. Was really astounding to me. I think as women, we've all been there where our bodies have changed one way or another, whether it be from weight gain or weight loss or from pregnancy or from surgery, and you're like, whoa, this is a mind fuck. So I can't even imagine when you get real with yourself in that moment and she's taking off her shirt on national television. It's really brave.
No, it definitely is brave. And it makes you think, though, because, like, I am 5'9 and I weigh 175.
Right.
So I have, like, 3 inches on her.
Yeah, so
and my body looks nothing like hers. Like, no, my stomach is reasonably flat.
Yeah, yeah, no, you don't.
Like, the weight is dispersed throughout my body.
Right, you are not 40%.
Thanks to surgery. even before surgery, I did carry predominantly a lot in my breasts, but
it's true.
It's pretty well balanced. So
yeah, no, you're not.
But when I saw her take the shirt off with those numbers in mind, I was like,
yeah. I mean, when I was pregnant, I didn't even weigh 170. And I'm 5'7". I don't know. That's insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, she, and 40% body fat is dangerous. That is obese.
No, it absolutely is. And I think it also paints a different picture, is we think of obese as these sloppy, fat, disgusting people that you see on TLC, My 600-Pound right. Life. But it can be someone like Shannon, who is living in a $1 million house, who has everything a woman could want, and is obese. And I think that's really great to show that.
Yeah, and I think it's also important for people to note that if people use a BMI calculator to calculate their BMI, mm-hmm. they will find that they are closer to obese than they think.
Oh, obese for sure.
Obese is not that, like, I think I'm in, like, the bottom of the overweight category now. Uh-huh. But at some point, you know, I had gained a bunch of weight, and I was, like, a point away from the obese category. And right. I was like, oh, no. Because it's this word with stigma, even though uh-huh. I didn't look drastically different. I didn't look like my 600-pound life.
Exactly.
The word attached to it was like, no.
No, I totally get that. I mean, I've never struggled with weight issues. Like, I've always been more naturally thin, so I can't really relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do have a little bit of body dysmorphia.
You have a lot of body dysmorphia? Yes. Okay. She's very lithe and has a great body and constantly thinks she's fat.
Well, thank you. But, so for me, I've never had to struggle to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was just like, man, that must suck. Like, to have all that, oh God, like the weight on your stomach. Like, I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter, like, I was, it's so heavy.
Yeah, it hurts your back.
Yeah, it's so like, I was just like, oh God, I feel so bad for her.
Well, and then I didn't think her trainer was helping.
Oh,
every
my
time he took a picture, he was like, wow.
I know, right? And that's what my mom and I said. I was like, if some guy was like, when I took out my shirt, wow, in a bad way, I'd be like, fuck you.
Like, yeah, like, and
I'm here.
Like,
I know.
It was horrid. I was like, what is this guy? This is not motivating. That just makes you feel like shit.
And I also didn't like the self-deprecation that Shannon was, like, putting on herself. Like, she's like, stand back with the camera because it's coming out and it's going to blind you. Like, yes, I understand you hate your body and you do not feel good in your skin. I get that. That's why you were there. But being self-deprecating doesn't help anything.
No, and I also think that it was an interesting comment she made, that she said she wasn't going to tell David because then he would be done.
Okay, I'm so glad you put that up. I wrote that down. And I'm just like, so those renewal of the vows through better or worse, because this is a worse time.
This is worse.
Yeah. You don't just leave someone because they gained weight. Like, what if she had gained that weight not because of stress, but because of pregnancy or because of a thyroid condition? He would just walk away. Like, the reason doesn't necessarily matter. You've gained it. There's nothing. The job is done. You've
right.
gained
and
it.
Right, and unless it's an issue where it is, like, my 600-pound life.
Yes.
And the person's going to die and they're
yes.
not taking care of themselves.
Yes.
I would understand a spouse in that situation.
Yeah, like an ultimatum.
Fine. I can't watch you die.
Exactly.
But that's not what we're looking at.
No. Either. And so that pissed me off. I was like, really? Like, has he said that to you? Has it conveyed that to you in some way? Like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah.
I was really put off by that comment.
So that was, I mean, that was essentially it. That was the, kind of the last thing she said at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Then Lydia and Peggy are driving in Peggy's fancy ass car.
Yeah.
To the dinner. Lydia, like, states that she invited her friend Kelly to dinner.
Yeah.
Her friend, which the cameras tell us she met yesterday.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? She's not your friend. She's an acquaintance. Literally, you met her yesterday.
I literally wrote down, you're a psycho.
She
like,
is a psycho.
You are a psycho. And she's, like, FaceTiming her in the car while Peggy's driving all fast. And she's like, now you've met Peggy, and now we're all friends forever.
That's really awkward. No.
And so they ask Kelly in this FaceTime, like, are you coming to dinner? And she's like, no. And
I'm
like,
on a boat. I'm on a boat.
God, I fucking hate Kelly Dodd so much.
I know.
So then you see, like, Tamara and Shannon driving to dinner, and Shannon's telling Tamara all about this trip to the gym and how and Tamara's saying, this is dangerous. This is unhealthy. She
right.
needs to fix it.
It is not even about an aesthetic thing. It's
40% body fat
yeah.
is not good for anyone.
It's about heart disease and stroke and, oh my God.
Yeah, and so Tamara's like, I don't drink, but I'm going to drink tonight. So since when does Tamara not drink?
I think when she was doing that bodybuilding thing, I remember she stopped drinking. Because if you remember, like, they had a pre-party before she started working out hardcore, and she drank a little bit, and then she didn't drink that whole time, and then after, she was allowed to have.
Okay.
So she stopped drinking for a long time so she could get down to, like, one person body fat.
Right, right. Then everyone gets to the dinner. Mm-hmm. Introductions are made. Peggy and Lydia start talking. I'm sorry. God damn, I don't know why I can't keep these ladies straight today. Sorry, guys.
It's because you're still in recovery.
I know. I'm, like, looking at the names, and I'm like, no.
It does not make you feel.
Shannon and Lydia are talking kind of over Peggy. Peggy's in the middle of it.
Right.
Them. Mm-hmm. And Peggy's like, this is, like, this nonsense tennis match. Uh-huh. She's going back and forth, and I was like, you are absolutely right. Very observant.
No, it absolutely is.
Then Shannon, like, sits there and kind of reveals her soul to these people.
She really does, and I thought it was the inappropriate time, and I thought that she just met Peggy. Like, I'm not bearing my soul to a bitch I just met.
No, it's and it's crazy, happening. And Peggy's like, I mean, Peggy states the obvious. Like, why would this false allegation ruin your life?
I know. When she was like, well, why do you care? She was so matter-of-fact about it, too, and I loved it. She's like, does he beat you? And she was like, no. And she's like, well, then why do you care?
Yeah, like, so she was just confused, like, why this would lead you to a 40-pound weight gain and whatnot.
No bitch is going to make me gain 40 pounds. I can tell you that much.
Amen, Sister Moon. Amen. So, I don't think Shannon's going to lose the weight. Like, she just...
I know, well, at dinner.
She orders and.
Oh, God, I know. She was like, I want the tenderloin.
And the mashed potato. She gets, like, mashed potato.
I know. And I like how Tamara's like, how about chicken and vegetables and no alcohol? And
no. And she was like, no, she's not having it. So I kind of just want Shannon to stop talking about it at this point. Like, right. Where it was brave, like, 30 minutes ago in the episode. Now I'm just like, you're not doing shit about it. Like, exactly. Every time we see you, you're grabbing a sandwich, you're grabbing a string cheese, you're grabbing whatever. Like,
no, you're stop. Right. If you're, I mean, it's one thing to talk about a problem when you're actively changing it, but it's quite another to sit there and complain and be like, I'm not going to do anything about it.
No, I totally agree. Then enters Kelly Dodd into the restaurant.
So here's the thing. Her just showing up because it's down the street from her house, I don't believe for a second. I think that Lydia told her where they were going to be. I think that she could have been on a boat with someone, but I think she went in there... went to the Quiet Woman with bad intentions.
Oh, 100%. And she goes in and she goes straight to the bathroom. Because Shannon's just gone to the bathroom.
Right. I don't think that was on purpose.
No. And so Kelly comes in and she starts walking back there. And Lydia's like, oh, shit. I'm going to go defuse the situation. Uh-huh. So Lydia kind of runs back there and the cameras follow. And we just see immediately Shannon telling Kelly all about her weight.
Yeah, that was so weird. Like, why would she open up to Kelly about her weight?
It was
like,
so
I don't
weird. I was
that.
Like, why is she telling Kelly Dodd anything? This is a woman you despise, and you see her for the first time in 6 months, and you're automatically like, these are all the things going on in my life.
Yeah, and the most horrible things. Like, right. But I did like how Kelly was like, yeah, I could tell she gained weight. She looks fucking terrible.
Yeah. And so Kelly's clearly like 10 sheets to the wind at this point already.
Yeah,
like,
you
she
can
comes
tell.
In the bathroom stall, her hair's all fucked up, she can't put her pants on.
I know, when she was standing there, like, looking down at her shirt while Shannon was talking to her, I was like, what is happening here? She's not even looking at you right now.
Yeah, and this sparks something between Kelly and Shannon. They start going off on each other. Shannon breaks down. Lydia prays. These are givens.
I just don't think Lydia praying was an appropriate time. Like, it did nothing.
It was so bizarre. So they all go back to the table, and then Kelly comes to the table, too, because Kelly's just so full of it. She's, like, so full of it, and she's so drunk.
Yeah.
And Peggy just looks like she wants to get the fuck out of there.
Of course she does.
She's just,
like, who
sitting there, like,
are these people?
Why am I here?
Yeah.
Kelly and Shannon are going back and forth again. Mm-hmm. Then Kelly, like, the stupid cunt she is like, maybe you should get some hormones.
Oh, God.
Like, maybe you need hormones. Well, that was clearly going to trigger Shannon.
Of course it was.
And then she's like, keep eating. And Shannon's like, this isn't even my plate. And throws it.
I know. I was like, oh, shit. You can never come here again.
Like, I was like, this is next level. Because, honestly, first of all, you just divulge all this stuff to Kelly because you're an idiot.
Yeah, she would never
have made... She's not your friend.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird to have a little bathroom confessional.
Oh, for sure.
And, of course, she came back and used it right against you.
Oh, yes.
She's a drunk. Yeah. She's a mean drunk.
She was sloppy.
And Kelly just starts laughing like a psychopath. She's like...
She does. Because she was like, yeah, I got her.
And then, like, the dinner kind of breaks up. Peggy and Lydia are outside, and Lydia's like, oh my god, I'm so embarrassed. We can't come here anymore. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so sorry. And kind of explains how she met the ladies at the Cut Fitness dinner where they were all turning on Alexis.
That was hysterical. And meanwhile, Kelly's in the back, out the window, licking it and smushing her face up against
it. Like Bart Simpson.
Yeah, like, yeah, what the fuck is happening here?
The craziest thing. And then they go into the back, and Shannon and Tamara are there. Oh, and Tamara's trying to talk her down. Mm-hmm. She's like, you can't let her get to her, you know, suck balls, Kelly Dodd. Like, suck hairy balls. And they laugh it off. And that's the end of the episode. So the preview shows some snatch tightening.
Oh, God,
we're going to talk, we're going to revisit Snatches. That's a housewife favorite.
Yes, it is.
And Ryan breaks down about having issues with Simon. It seems like he's like, I had the worst stepdad, but I also thank him.
I saw that, and maybe it's because it made him stronger, and it made him know how not to be.
You know what Ryan doesn't do well? He doesn't tip well. I served Ryan at a restaurant in Orange County.
Shut up. How did I not know this story? Yeah,
it was... He was fine. He was like an average customer. Not especially nice. Not especially rude.
Right.
Shitty tipper. Shittiest fucking tipper.
Oh, hell no. That makes me mad.
Yeah, I was like real mad after that, too. I was like, way to go, Ryan. I know you're on fucking TV, so fuck you in your face.
Well, seriously.
That's interesting. But that's okay, you know? I'm a lawyer now. I don't hold those grudges. I hold those grudges.
You make more money than him. So, I mean, like...
That's true. Even whatever he's making from Housewives of Orange County, I'm sure that's true. So now we can move on to New York.
New York Housewives.
Tequila-thon.
Yeah, that, I gotta say, just watching these bitches drink tequila made me want to vomit. Because that's the first thing I ever got drunk off of. And yeah. That's so sick. So I don't even know how
I've had many nights related to tequila, but I didn't stop drinking tequila until this one night where I hadn't eaten carbs in a few weeks. And I was at a friend's house, and we were all eating pizza, and I took 10 tequila shots because
did you really take, like, legitimately 10? Yeah,
because my fucking stupid bartender friend, Nicole Powell, just kept serving me when I said, beat me up, Scotty. She thought that was appropriate, so I really...
Is that where that came from? Why we call her Scotty?
Because I would just be like, beat me up, Scotty!
That's so funny. I never really realized
that. And I was drunk and belligerent and vomiting everywhere and had to be carried out in an office chair. So that was the last time I consumed copious amounts of tequila. And now tequila makes me real sick.
Mama doesn't drink tequila. Nope.
A coworker of mine sent me an email last night saying that you too could stay at the Mexican villa.
Oh.
And I was like, let's just do it. Let's just sell our internal organs.
How much? Did you see how much it was?
It didn't say. Oh, it's a favorite of the Housewives and Kim Kardashian.
Oh, and Kim Kardashian. Yeah,
apparently she took 6,000 selfies while she was there.
6,000?
Yeah, that's like a whole trip. Like, literally all you're doing is, like, while you're sleeping, too, selfie stick.
Oh, my God. That's a new level. A new level.
So I thought that was interesting. So we should all go in together, ladies. Let's just start sending us money. We'll make the reservation. We'll meet you in Mexico. It'll be a pretty vulgar podcast trip.
Yes, I love it.
So it starts the morning after the drunkenness. Luann is doing yoga after being so wasted. I would not be functional.
No, I mean, she really picked herself up. Like, she did it. She did her
thing. Yeah, like, I was like, good for you, man. Like, and Bethany said, like, I would be praying to the porcelain goddess. I absolutely would be.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they go in, people are eating breakfast, and all of these flowers arrive. Like, an obscene amount of thousands of dollars of flowers arrive, and they are for Tinsley.
From Scott.
Her new boyfriend. She says that very cavalierly.
She did.
She's like, my new boyfriend just sent me all these flowers. You have what? I guess if you spend 5 days with someone, he might be your boyfriend.
I mean, honestly, because, like, after 5 days, I feel like then you're getting into serious stuff. You're getting into a committed thing after 5 days.
Right. So they discuss their plans for the day. And some of the ladies are going to go surfing, and some of the ladies are going to do something else. And Ramona is talking to Bethany again. And she apologizes for things she said, and then she, in her interview, though, says, I'm not apologizing for anything. And I was like, no, you just literally apologized. Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes.
And she also said, oh, Bethany always just wants to talk. She's always like, okay, let's talk. No, Bethany never wants to talk. She never initiates it with you. You're always initiating
it
with her.
It's so bizarre. So they kind of do separate things. So Tinsley and Sonia are having a chat while the ladies go surfing.
Yeah.
A
heart to heart.
Yeah, it's about the Page Six article.
Let it go, Tinsley. Tinsley's there.
Like, if it were me and it were about you, I'd call the Post and squash the story. No. I'd do it. I don't think that's nothing's going to squash anything. Wouldn't you think that would inflame it? Like,
hell yes.
Page Six also reports that Sonia Morgan called to say these things, but it seems suspect.
No, it's such bullshit. And it's like, who cares? Why do you care about the Post? Why?
Because her whole life has been about that. Like, so that's stupid. Who she was Serena Vanderwoodson. Her whole stock in life was being in the Post in Page Six.
Well, that is obscene.
But she kind of, Sonia makes a good point. Like, you moved here not to be in Page Six. Like,
yeah.
Just let them do what they're going to do. Let's not make it a bigger issue than it is.
I agree.
Meanwhile, the girls go surfing, and I love that they're trying something new.
Yeah, but I would have eaten shit so bad.
I've only gone surfing once. I took surfing lessons and did it. I hit a girl in the head with a surfboard.
Oh my god, that's so dangerous.
Broke the fin on her head.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I thought she was gonna die. I'm glad to report she is alive. She has children. She's functioning.
Oh god.
But I actually think that it's cool to, like, go out and do different things and have new experiences. And I do think it's bonding, like they said. Like,
it is. But they did say that surfing is like giving birth. And if it's like giving birth, I want no part of
it. Yeah, Dorinda said that, and I wrote that down. I thought that was bizarre because, again, I've been surfing. It's difficult. And I've never given birth. That's fair. But I imagine there's a lot more pain and blood involved in giving birth.
Birth is the most difficult thing I've ever done. And, like, this is what gets me in trouble. I always say, well, I've given birth, so, you know, I can get through this.
Right.
And I'm telling you, birth, no, it's way harder than surfing. Yeah. I've never surfed, but it's...
Yeah, I'd imagine it's not. But, like, I give them props for going out and trying new things. Then they go back, and they get ready to go to a lunch excursion. And as they're getting in the vans, Ramona asks Sonia if she's wearing an antique. And I thought that was an interesting question. Not, like, a classic or a vintage or something like that. An antique.
Yeah, I'm totally wearing an antique. I found this at an antique store downtown.
It's a wardrobe. I'm wearing a wardrobe. It's fucking okay.
It's because Ramona's fucking crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean, and this lunch excursion that they go on, like, totally shows that. Because you have Ramona Singer just buying Bethany things the whole trip.
I know.
She buys her a dress. She buys her a bag.
I mean, I'm all for people buying me things, but she was really working hard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And it worked. It broke Bethany down over the day. It really did. She was like, I agree with Sonia. Bethany is a softie. She didn't want to see anyone hurt or mad. So when they get back to the house, Bethany is in a jacuzzi with Carol, and Sonia comes up, and they discuss, I'm going to invite her. It's fine. Meanwhile, we see Ramona Singer, who is running down the beach.
After she got her hair blowed out. I don't understand why she's running down the beach with her hair freshly done, in a bathing suit, like a weirdo. You're not jogging. Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, no, I thought that was very confusing, and I thought that it was funny that they were making shit out of, like, making fun of her.
Yeah.
So, you know, after that, Bethany talks to Ramona and says, like, you can come.
Right.
Like,
but
don't
this
say
up.
Anything negative. Yeah. Don't, this is my livelihood.
She got
and
emotional.
Ramona says, I will never do that. And Ramona has said that she is in a failing business.
Yeah, she's already said, talked shit about Bethany's business. So Bethany being concerned is very valid.
Valid, 100%. So Ramona's invited, then they all go out to dinner that night. They're having an early dinner because they know they're going to be drinking a lot the next day. Bethany refuses to sit at the head of the table. So, like, a very awkward jockeying for who's not going to sit at the head of the table.
Yeah,
Carol ends up sitting there.
I don't get it. I will sit there. Who the hell cares?
Right. And then I guess the Page Six article gets published. And Sonia makes a comment. Oh, she's having a Tinsley tantrum.
Which
I think is super spot on.
It is because she does. She, like, gets up and she, like, stomps her foot and, like, gets her head going. She looks like a child, like a 2-year-old child.
Yeah, like, it's crazy. And they're just arguing and arguing, and it's all circular. And literally, I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't even know who's right and wrong in this situation anymore.
No.
This is just so confusing, and
you just gotta let it go.
Circles and it goes nowhere.
Yeah,
nowhere.
At some point, you have to walk away from those arguments because no one's gonna win.
Well, and they do walk away when someone brings up the fact that it's like a circle jerk, Carol proceeds to define for everyone.
Okay, I had no idea what that was. When she said what it was, I was just like, "Holy mother! Like, what? Why? Ew! No! Stop! Ew!"
Yeah, so I thought that was too much.
Yeah, it was. That was time to leave.
And everyone else was like, oh, That's gross.
Yeah. Of course Carol knows what it means.
Well, and then they talk about how Ramona Singer's a good Catholic, so she's not having actually vaginal sex with a lot of people. She's having hands, ears.
I'm so sick of her saying she's a good Catholic. Okay, you're being Catholic has nothing to do with your sex life, you weirdo.
Well, and then the funny part of the evening is Dorinda hands out these novelty gifts, right, which were hysterical.
They were super funny.
It made my night. I was like, yes, I'm going to do this on my next vacation. I'm just going to give everyone novelty gifts.
Do it.
It just breaks down barriers, and it just makes everyone laugh, and it's funny.
I want these gifts that you speak of.
Done and done. So Bethany and Ramona kind of have a heart-to-heart, and that's where they get everything ironed out. And
right.
They're ready to go to bed, because the next day is the tequila day.
Tequila day!
So Sonia starts off the day by saying she hasn't had a drink in 10 months, which I can count wine in Vermont, or the margarita where she stepped off the van in Mexico.
Right, but I also think you haven't had a drink in 10 months and you decide, yep, I'm just going to dive in headfirst with this massive amount of tequila.
Yeah, but she's not been drinking, I think is the bottom line. She's been drinking. I saw the wine glass in Vermont. Like,
well,
she literally
true.
Stepped off the van and was like, is this alcoholic?
She's like, I need to suck all the alcohol. Can I take out the rest that is not alcohol?
So, they walk to the helicopter. Ramona's got her baby skin face cover.
She looks like a serial killer or a mass murderer walking around with that thing. It's weird.
Yeah, no, it was really bizarre. They get on the helicopter. They helicopter into this place. Bethany's just so proud, and it's a very touching moment. She's very proud of herself. And she should be, absolutely, 100%. She's, like, done this amazing thing. She's built something out of nothing.
Yeah, she made an empire for herself.
Yeah, and everyone's really, like, supportive of her, so that's nice.
But this is where Ramona is, like, kind of kissing Bethany's ass some more, and Dorinda's not having it, and she pantomimes in the confessional licking ass, which was disgusting. I could go my whole life without seeing
that. Yeah, Dorinda does go, I mean, and it continues that they're on a tour bus at some point, and Dorinda's like, I just can't take the ass kissing anymore. And
yeah.
That's when I think you said that she said. She literally, because she says, literally just take her pants, pull them down, lick her in the asshole.
And then she, like, does it in the interview. And I was like, ew, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, and so, like, it's funny. Dorinda's got these quotes, too, that make me laugh. Like, when they get off the helicopter and Dorinda's like, Ramona looks like an MTV advertisement, and this time I don't want my MTV.
I know, it's so weird.
It's such a dated reference, too, that only people, like, our age or older would get it.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Younger viewers would be like, what? MTV played music?
Yes.
What?
Yes, they did. That's all they used to do.
So they arrive at the distillery, and there's, like, these fresh agave plants, and Ramona's like, agave is a mind opener. I don't even know what that means.
She acted like she got her mind blown. Like, she dropped some acid and got blown by that agave plant.
Yeah, like she was a mind opener.
Yeah, I was like, it's all right. You'd be okay. Sure.
They go into the actual distillery where they take shots out of horns, actual horns that they wear around their neck.
Yeah, that was something.
And they're drinking some serious tequila, some serious hardcore proof tequila.
130 proof.
That's like, I would die instantly.
I'm
dead.
I could not even have one sip. I'd be like under the table. You'd be alcohol poison, calling 911. I'd be naked. Things would be happening. Just bad
or
things.
You would be live to use the horn as a butt plug, as suggested
by Carol of all people. And she says, "Don't knock it till you try it." And I was like, "Okay, you're just opening the door to your bedroom with Adam."
Yeah, that was next level. I was like, "Oh." Didn't expect a butt plug conversation.
No, that was something.
Ramona talks about a tequila orgasm. I think that was disturbing on many levels.
Oh, God, yes. Tequila. Oh, God. The way she was talking about it was just gross. I was like, whoa, I've drank tequila. Nothing. Never had that happen.
Right.
I'm drinking the wrong tequila.
No, you're absolutely right. So then they come out of the distillery and they go to this lunch, and Dorinda says, Disney has come to Mexico. There's a small child with a big hat. There's a horse dancing to music. It's wonderful. And I was like, oh my God, that's the funniest shit I've ever heard of.
It really is. I was like, whoa, okay, sure.
And then they talk about, and Tinsley's like, I'm going to take him home. And they're like, whoa, Angelina Jolie, slow down.
Well, that's kidnapping. He has a mommy and daddy.
Yeah, and then the lunch is continuing, and as the lunch is continuing, the tequila count on the bottom of the screen keeps going up, and they're at, like, tequila number 8 at some point.
I don't know how these women, I got to give it to them, can hold their liquor, because me, one shot of tequila puts me under.
Well, and that's what Bethany says. She's like, my game is tight, but my team is tighter. Uh-huh. That's exactly what she's talking about. These women can pack it in.
Like, how? Like, what?
I would be dead. And especially, like, after the helicopter and the car ride back to the house where they start... And that's what happens next. They go back to the uh-huh. most amazing house in the world, which we can rent for $6 million a night.
Yes.
And they're all like, we gotta keep drinking. And, like, at that point, that would be enough downtime where I would be sick and I would be sleeping.
No, for sure. I'd be throwing up. I'd be... You'd need to pump my stomach. But these bitches are jumping in the pool, off a...
It's a shit show. Yeah. It's like a veritable shit show.
Sonia starts trying to make out with Luann.
Well, and then Sonia starts to play therapist Sonia.
Oh, God.
And she starts talking about how Ramona and Mario had sex every day. She was there.
Vomit.
She was there. She's like, I was there.
Vomit in my mouth.
And that makes it a little confusing for me, because if they were having sex every day, it doesn't seem likely that Mario would cheat. Sorry, guys, my dog's at the door. That's a little strange.
No, I think cheating's not necessarily about the quantity of sex you're having or even the quality of sex you're having. I think it speaks to something very different in the relationship.
I think it depends. I think it depends Maybe. Whether it's an emotional affair or a physical affair.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of people who get cheated on. Even they have sex every day, but the person needs more sex. I don't know.
It's interesting. I don't know.
I don't have
it was
answers.
It was an interesting statement that I didn't expect.
Right.
But Sonia is like, I love Mario, and I just want to tell you, and you just need to be happy. And Bethany comes over and is actually on Ramona's side against Sonia.
She's like,
and
calm
it's
down.
Very strange bedfellows. But she's like, you need to calm down. Like, uh-huh. you need to chill the fuck out, Sonia. And she's like, you know, Sonia keeps pressing and pressing, and Ramona blows up. I am fucking happy, bitch! I'm happy! I'm happy!
I mean, if...
Because she sounds it when she yells like that.
That's what I'm saying. If someone's not yelling at you that they are happy, then they're not happy.
They're not truly happy.
It's true. Like, I mean, you're not yelling at me, Jillian, that you're truly happy.
I'll remember that in the future.
Okay.
Like, right now I'm recovering, so I'm not really that level happy, but, like,
maybe
you know.
In a few weeks you're going to be screaming
Yeah, I'll
at
be
me.
Screaming it from the roof, in your face, like,
done. I like it.
So then we get the little to be continued dropped in there. So the preview for next week has some fishing and whale watching, and uh-huh. there's fireworks and nudity. Dorinda stabs her hand.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, shit.
I mean, a lot. There's a lot to pack in the last Mexico episode, so.
I'm excited for it. It looks like it's gonna take us places.
Oh, I mean, every episode thus far has not disappointed, so I would imagine that this would be no exception.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed our podcast. If you want to connect with us, please follow us on Instagram. It's Pretty Vulgar Podcast. And don't forget to find us on iTunes, subscribe, and rate us, please.
Do it. Do it now. You know you want to.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.